Hello, and thank you for listening to Call the Roll, a public affairs program produced by the Columbus City Council and aired here on Freedom FM. I'm your host, John Ivana, Communications Director for the City Council. On this week's show, the Columbus Plan for Education Reform and how you can learn more about the 2013 bond package that will appear on the November ballot. We begin this week with the continued effort to overhaul education in Columbus. Council President Andrew J. Ginther, along with Columbus Mayor Mike Coleman, have both testified before an Ohio House Education Committee that led to the passage of a bill that will better address the educational needs of Columbus school children. HB 167, now under consideration in the state Senate, paves the way for the creation of an independent auditor to oversee the district and provide increased educational opportunities for Columbus children. From his testimony before the committee is Council President Ginther.
Good evening, Chairman Stevelton, Ranking Member Fetter, and members of the House Education Committee. Thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of House Bill 167. I am Andrew Ginther. I'm President of Columbus City Council. I was born and raised in Columbus, proud graduate of Columbus City Schools, former two-term member of the Columbus Board of Education, and a parent who resides in the Columbus City School District. It is because of my love for my hometown, my faith in our city's future, my commitment to improving public education, and my belief that Columbus City Schools must provide the opportunity for all of our children to learn and grow that I joined Mayor Coleman to form the Columbus Education Commission. By now, you are all very familiar with the Commission's work, and you've heard from several of the 25 members representing a broad section of the community. You have heard from those representing the business community who have highlighted the stark contrast between our economic gains and the educational decline in Columbus. In fact, Columbus's economy is booming. With low unemployment and job creation that is leading the state, well-paying jobs are fueling the development that is transforming Columbus. However, Columbus will never reach its fullest potential if we do not approach education in the same way we have economic development. This committee also heard from school leaders and those representing the thousands of teachers, counselors, and school nurses whose business is the education of Columbus children. You heard the challenges they face in educating our kids, but you didn't hear excuses. You heard the frustration in their voices, but you have not heard anyone say that they have given up. Instead, they have embraced the help of the civic and business leaders of our community, and together we have reimagined the future of education in Columbus. In addition to hearing from these constituencies, the Columbus Education Commission also heard from parents, faith leaders, and other members of the community. In addition to the expertise of commission members themselves, including the presidents of the PTA, the Urban League, and the United Way, influential faith leaders, human service advocates, and labor unions representing teachers and all school employees. The commission also benefited from the engagement of the community at large through focus groups, community meetings, social media, online exchanges, and a large-scale postcard campaign soliciting the input of all those who have a vested interest in the future of education in Columbus. Through this process, not only did we engage the community in the dialogue, we charged them with helping to craft solutions and challenge them to own the Commission's recommendations. A unanimous vote on all of the recommendations was developed by the Education Commissioner. A Columbus Board of Education resolution supporting the Commission's recommendations. Endorsement of the recommendations by the Columbus Education Association and the Ohio Association of Public School Employees. Support from key business leaders and economic development organizations like Columbus 2020 and the Columbus Chamber of Commerce. Together, we as civic business and labor leaders, teachers and school employees, parents, advocates, and champions of our community have come together to develop a plan for education in Columbus. Together, We have charted a path for all of our children to succeed in the city's vibrant, growing economy. We have set goals which will make Columbus a global leader in developing the highly skilled, creative, entrepreneurial workforce that will propel economic growth in the 21st century. And we have done so by leveraging the resourcefulness of our entire community to meet these goals, gaining commitments from all those who have a stake in our children's future. When we are successful, we will provide a quality pre-kindergarten experience for every child in the district. We will be recruiting and retaining the best teachers and principals in all of America. And we will incorporate new technology and teaching tools at home and in the classroom. We will create more high-performing neighborhood schools, partner with the community to serve the needs of the whole child, and we will make certain that every child in Columbus has a clear purpose. And when that child graduates from Columbus, he or she will be prepared to get a job, start a business, join the military, or pursue higher education. Columbus has a plan to revolutionize education in our city. And we, as a community, are more aligned behind a common vision than most would have ever imagined. The plan makes some 55 recommendations for improvement, of which 52 will be implemented without state legislative action. Still, we need your help to make three very specific reforms and to empower us to make the changes we seek to make to transform our schools. We need your support to allow Columbus voters to take control of the future of education in their community, to restore confidence in their schools, and to direct their tax dollars in a way that fosters innovation, encourages student success, and produces results. Specifically, I ask for your support for the provision of this bill that creates the same system of checks and balances in our schools that we see at all other levels of government through the creation of an independent auditor. This is critically important to inspire faith and confidence in our schools and will give assurance to those investing in our children's future that the management of the district is sound. The state of Ohio, Franklin County, and the city of Columbus all have an independent auditor. It is good government, and it's the right thing to do for the largest school district in the state. I also ask for your support of the provision of this bill that would let voters decide to allow a portion of their tax dollars to follow their kids to high-performing charter schools. These dollars would leverage millions in public and private investment that can dramatically improve the education of all children in the district and help replicate existing high-performing schools and attract new ones. Finally, I am asking for your support for the provision of this bill, which would allow the City of Columbus to sponsor charter schools. One quarter of all Columbus school children attend charter schools. However, only 35% of students attending Columbus-based charter schools are enrolled in a charter that is rated A or B. By allowing the city to sponsor charter schools, we can attract the best charter schools to Columbus, set the standards for what is acceptable in our community, and promote those schools which provide the highest quality education. While we have no interest in operating charter schools, if the city is permitted to sponsor charters, we can help support solid business practices, encourage higher academic achievement, and hold charter schools accountable. So, with that, I will conclude by simply saying thank you. I very much appreciate the time and attention each member of this committee has given to this issue. While we are not asking you to fix our schools, and while no state funding is on the line, we are asking for you to have faith in your local leaders and to allow us the opportunity to take our plan, the community's plan, to the voters. I respectfully ask for your support and for your vote of confidence in our plan. With your yes vote, we as a community can get to work, provide the kind of education our children deserve. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, and most especially our bipartisan co-sponsors. I know we lost one moments ago, but House Minority Leader Tracy Maxwell Hurd, Majority Whip Sheryl Grossman, your service and leadership on this in particular is very much appreciated.
House Council President Ginther also testifying alongside the Council President was School Board President Carol Perkins.
Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak to you in support of House Bill 167. I also had the privilege of serving on the Columbus Education Commission, a diverse group of community leaders selected by Mayor Michael B. Coleman and City Council President Andrew J. Ginther to provide recommendations on strategies to improve the academic success of our city students. When we discuss urban education, it is easy to get distracted by the challenges presented by non-academic barriers, such as poverty and problems at home. According to data from the Ohio Department of Education, 34% of students entering our district's kindergarten are not prepared for school at the age of five. We cannot allow these factors to serve as an excuse, because the bottom line is that all of our children deserve better than what they've been given. Despite these challenges, I am optimistic about our district's future. Never before have I seen the level of community interest in the education of our city's children. In order to be successful, we must all be leaders in that effort. The school district cannot succeed in isolation, and I am incredibly encouraged by our mayor's commitment to making high-quality education in Columbus a priority. In response, the Board of Education has committed to making the implementation of the Commission's final report a priority by adopting a resolution in support of the group's recommendations. Enacting House Bill 167 is the first critical step in that process. The Mayor's Commission has provided a significant forum for our community to come together and identify specific recommendations for improving education in our city. For example, the Commission's recommendation on expanding the role of technology in the classroom, recruiting and retaining high-quality teachers and principals, and providing high-quality preschool opportunities for every child are critically important. The legislation before you today focuses on all three recommendations that require a change in state law. Giving the district's voters the power to decide a system of accountability for the school district through the creation of an independent auditor creates community buy-in and builds the confidence in our system. While I do not believe that charter schools are the answer to all of our problems, the reality is they are a part of the fabric of our educational system, and they cannot be ignored. Provisions in the legislation that provide the mayor the authority to attract and sponsor high-performing community schools to our city and grants the district the authority to seek a levy that shares revenue with such community schools is important for our success. Our district has a student mobility rate of approximately 17%, wherein students often move back and forth between districts and community schools. As such, a student sitting at a desk in a community school today has a good chance of being in one of our classrooms tomorrow. Their kids and our kids, if we aren't all focused on providing the best opportunities available, then none of us will ultimately succeed. While the bill does support House Bill 167, I do believe there are some changes that could strengthen the bill, particularly regarding accountability and the independent auditor. The Columbus Board of Education will be responsible for placing the revenue sharing levy on the ballot, and voters are going to expect the board to provide oversight and be accountable for the use of those funds, which will primarily be the responsibility of the public-private partnership that was recommended in the Commission's report. That is why I believe it is critical that the independent auditor have the authority to audit both the public-private partnership and community schools in the district. At a minimum, I believe the auditor must have the authority to audit community schools that receive funding from the revenue sharing levy. I know that members of this committee expressed an interest in the ability of the independent auditor to provide oversight of community schools in the district, and supporters of the bill said that authority existed in the legislation. Yet it is unclear to me where the authority exists in that legislation. If we can all agree that such oversight should be provided by the independent auditor, if approved by the district's voter, then House Bill 167 should clearly provide such authority and mandate cooperation from community schools, just as it does in the school district. House Bill 167 also currently lists provisions that the independent auditor is required to do, but also lists provisions that the independent auditor may perform at the auditor's discretion. Section 3311.60D2 is focused on the accuracy and reporting of student performance and enrollment data and is a part of that discretionary list. Given what the district is currently experiencing with the investigation into student attendance data, I do not believe this audit function should remain discretionary. I would ask that you consider making the accuracy of student data part of Section 3311.60C, which includes the mandatory requirements of the independent auditor. I thank you for giving me the opportunity to testify today in support of House Bill 167, because these recommendations were developed through community engagement and born of a commitment from stakeholders through our community to work together. I truly believe they will be successful. The Board of Education stands ready to transform these ideas into action, and we ask for your support in passing House Bill 167 to start this critical work.
For more information on ways you can help transform education in Columbus, go to Reimagine Columbus Education. Their website is reimaginecolumbuseducation.org. Mayor Coleman, Council President Ginther, and City Auditor Hugh Dorian are serving as co-chairs for a committee to place a voted bond package on the November 5th ballot. In preparation, the committee has scheduled 4 community meetings to discuss the city's proposed 5-year capital improvements program and gather input from residents about infrastructure needs in their neighborhoods. 2 of those meetings were held this past week, with 2 more, one on June 11th at Barrett Community Center, 1184 Barrett Road, and the other June 13th at Westgate Shelter House, 3271 Wicklow Road, will take place in the next few days. Each meeting will last from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and feature members of Columbus City Council and representatives of various city departments. At one of those meetings last week was Finance Committee Chair Priscilla R. Tyson, who discussed with Assistant Communications Director Adam Letty the importance of the bond package and the community meetings.
This bond package is so important for the City of Columbus because it will allow our city to be able to have improvements in infrastructure and improve the quality of life for our residents. It's an $842 million voted bond package, and it will also allow us to make sure that we will be able to focus on those projects in our community that are so meaningful, that are important for our neighborhoods, that are important for safety in our community.
You've had a lot of conversations with residents over the course of your service on council about what they see as capital priorities for their neighborhoods. What's some of the feedback that you tend to get from residents about things that they like to see, and are there sort of similarities across neighborhoods in Columbus?
Yes, there are similarities. All neighborhoods want to make sure that they have a great quality of life within their community. And so that means they want to have you know, great streets, sidewalks. They want to make sure that we have our safety forces within our community. They want, and by that meaning having the safety facilities as well as having all the equipment that are needed for them to continue to feel safe should there be an emergency within their community. They also want to make sure they have recreation and parks facilities because that increases the quality of life in a community. They also want to make sure that there is water and sewage facilities within their community so that they can have, again, a great quality of life. So really across the board, they're all wanting the same types of amenities within their communities.
Columbus is known nationally for its sound fiscal management. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, I can. We have great fiscal management. One, you know, we're one of the only large cities that have a AAA bond rating, and that is so important because as we are preparing for this voted bond package, we're asking the voters for their approval so that we would be able, as we're selling these bonds, we would be selling them and getting the very best interest rate on this bond package because of the AAA bond rating. And what that will also allow us to do by us having the best rates, we will be able to have more projects completed because we will be able to save money. This particular bond package could save us anywhere between $3 to maybe $9 million for our residents. And so it is so important that we have this AAA bond rating. We also know that what's important is that a quarter of every dollar, so of our income tax, goes to paying down the debt on our income tax, or the debt on these bonds. And that's important as you talk to the individuals that give us a bond rating, that we are constantly investing in our community and we have the dollars to be able to pay off that debt.
Is there anything else you'd like our residents and listeners to know about the upcoming bond package?
Yes, the only thing I'd like to like the residents to know is that to please come out to the community meetings and give us input on what we are proposing within the bond package. Their input is so important as we prioritize which of these projects are going to be completed. We have a number of needs in our community, and certainly this bond package is not going to take care of all the needs, but certainly we need their input to prioritize the needs to be met in our community.
The last Columbus bond package approved by city voters was November of 2008. From the city's finance department is Rob Newman.
Rob, could you start us off by just giving us an overview of the four issues that we're talking about here with the proposed bond package?
Yes, on November 5th, the citizens will have an opportunity to vote on four separate issues totaling $842 million, which is the second largest city bond package in the history. The first issue is related to safety and health at $52.5 million, and it will provide funding for police and fire improvements, fire apparatus, and related safety equipment. The second issue will be for $124 million and provide funding for rec centers, bike paths, parks and playground improvement, and related equipment. The third issue, totaling $220 million, will be for public service and have funding for refuse, sidewalk improvements, roadway, bikeway, street equipment, and it also will contain and resurfacing. It also will include refuse collection, container money, vehicles, and refuse equipment. And then finally, the public utility department for $445 million and provide funding for water storm improvements, or water system improvement, stormwater improvements, and street lighting projects.
Tell us a little bit about how public input and feedback feeds into this process. Tonight we're at the first of four community meetings that are scheduled over the next few days to solicit that sort of input and feedback. Touch on that a little bit for us.
Right. The public can come in and go to various department booths, which will have information about the four issues, and they have an opportunity to have face-to-face contact with the city representative. Plus they have a comment card that they can provide to the any city member here. And then we'll collect those cards at the end of the process. We'll review them and look at what we have currently scheduled in the proposed package and make, if we hear a common theme throughout, you know, we make those types of adjustments for the bond package.
And could you explain a little bit in sort of layman's terms about how the support of the public is so valuable in terms of helping us actually save money for the residents of Columbus?
Right. What they're doing when they go into the booth and vote yes or no on a successful campaign for each issue, it provides the It doesn't mean new or higher property taxes, but what it does do is give the city the ability to levy a property tax to pay off the debt service associated with the bonds that we issue. And since 1956, we've gone to the ballot 88 times for those individual issues and been successful in 82 of those, which is about a 93% approval rating. So what they're doing is giving us the ability to levy that property tax. We have never levied a property tax in 57 years since 1956, nor do we intend to do so. That's a pretty phenomenal track record. And we plan to keep that pledge to the voters.
We are out of time for this edition of Call the Roll. If you have a question or a comment, please email us at calltheroll@columbus.gov. That's CALLTHEROLL at columbus.gov. Don't forget you can follow the Columbus City Council on our Facebook and our Twitter pages. On behalf of the entire Columbus City Council, I'm your host, John Ivanek. Thanks for listening to Freedom FM, and have a great weekend.